Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself when you can listen to a couple of Northwest Outdoor experts yap about it? This is The Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson and Rob Ensley on 710 ESPN Seattle and the 710 ESPN Seattle app. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Yamaha, Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Lowrance, Weldcraft, and Duckworth Boats, Roy Robinson Chevrolet, Kitsap Marina, Harbor Marine, Truck Vault, and Ray Marine Electronics.
Welcome to Hour 2 of The Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle. That's Rob Ensley, Matt Nelson behind the glass. I'm Tom Nelson, and on the phone, go check out trapshootingbros.com, trapshootingbros.com. That's the website of the Barthlow Brothers Shooting Clinics, and on the phone, none other than Foster Barthlow. Good morning, Foster.
Morning, buddy.
Show,
How you doing?
Good morning, Tom, Rob. Great to talk to you guys.
Likewise, man. We've been talking about some of your trap shooting skills throughout the show here. And some of the, gosh, 1,100 in a row, your brother, 1,840 traps in a row. What the heck, man? This one, when you guys were, how old are you now, buddy? I mean, this is when you did that when you were 19. Your brother was like 16. How old are you now? Are you guys still putting up those kind of numbers, or what's going on there, man?
Yeah, it's been phenomenal the last few years. You know, we've been placing top three, top five at the Grand American. Mm-hmm. Just so you know, the Grand American for ATA trap shooters is basically like the mega, one that you want to place good at.
It's the masters of trap shooting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you guys obviously grew up with shotguns in your hands. What, at what age did you start shooting, buddy?
Gosh, you know, I think I was 14. Mm-hmm. My brother was 12, and we just, you know, it was one of those things. We got into it. We saw a flyer at our local high school and decided to go check it out, you know, and we loved shooting, loved the outdoors, and it was just one of those things that got into it, and it just excelled from there.
And we were talking yesterday, Foster, and you know, now your passion for trap shooting has developed into a series of shooting clinics that you've been given back east. Tell us a little bit about this and how you get coaching and really, you know, the effect that it's had on some of these kids. I mean, you know, you've been coaching up your coaches, and you get these kids that have never really experienced the sport of trap shooting before. And you know, tell us a little bit about what you've been doing with the Barthlow Brothers Shooting Clinics.
Yeah, so we've been doing a lot of free youth shooting clinics throughout the U.S., and we love it. We call it Your Recipe, because just like myself or my brother or both of you guys, everyone has their own shooting style, and we call it Your Recipe because we want to develop a shooting style that's going to work for you, not something that works. You know, I don't want to try to teach you how I shoot. I want you to shoot how you shoot and shoot the best way possible. So it's...
Oh, somebody just hit the bullseye back there. That was their dinger, dude.
Yeah.
That was right in a 10 ring.
Now, we were talking, Foster, a couple days ago, and something that folks out here probably don't think about. You go buy a new shotgun, like, this thing's got to be dead on. I mean, it's brand new. Why wouldn't it be dead on? You're like, not all shotguns are dead on when you pull them out of the box. You want to take and pattern that thing. Talk about the importance of that, Foster, whether it's a Browning, we're shooting Brownings and so are you, or any other shotgun for that matter. Talk about how to go through that process and make sure your shotgun is dead on, man.
Yeah, so whether it's a hunting shotgun or trap shooting specific shotgun, just so you guys kind of know and your viewers, listeners know, there's two different styles that we like to look at with shotguns. We have like a hunting grade, and then we have a trap shooting grade. Trap shooting grade is going to be shooting a little bit higher point of impact. And the reason for that is so you never have to cover that clay bird. Basically, you shoot, for me, it's a 70-30, so I shoot about 4 inches high. So I basically put my bead at the bottom of the clay target, pull the trigger, and it, you know, crushes it dead center every time. So that's a trap shooting gun. Like I said, just so you never have to cover that bird, you can always see it. Versus hunting, where it's more of a 50-50 point of impact, so it's shooting dead on. But still, with hunting guns, you wanna pattern it, because choke tubes, the ammo you use, everything, you know, it's just like a rifle.
Sure.
You go and pattern or shoot a rifle, get it dialed in. Shotgun's the exact same thing. You want to get it dialed in exactly where you're shooting.
Now, not to go off too far off into the weeds on this, but let's say you got a shotgun, you point it at you, you know, 35 yards away, you pull the trigger, and it's up and to the right a little bit. How do you change that? Is there any way to make any adjustments without Nelly's got the barrel over his knee bending?
Yeah,
it,
just
you know,
whack it a couple times, right?
How do you change that, buddy?
Yep. So we shoot a lot of Browning shotguns, love them. We've shot them for years. That's what we choose, what we prefer. And with whether it's a hunting gun or a trap shooting gun, you can make adjustments in the stock. You can put on cheekies pads for hunting guns. And then with Browning trap shooting specific grade shotguns, there's a lot of adjustability. So you have more adjustability in the comb. With the new 725 Trap Max, you can actually adjust the rib. It has a higher rib. You can adjust that. So you can adjust that point of impact from 50-50 to 100% high. So you're basically getting that shotgun to shoot exactly where you want it to shoot.
We're talking with Foster Barthlow of TrapShootingBros.com. And Foster, one of the things that really impressed me was, you know, again, you actually broke 900 in a row. And I see now in your shooting clinics that mental training is really part of the way you coach people. So tell us a little about the concentration and the zone you need to be in when you're actually shooting trap, because concentrating is absolutely the key to consistency really in any type of shooting.
Yep, absolutely. We really, in our clinics, we talk a lot about the mental game. That's one thing that I've been blessed with, learning the mental game from my dad. He's honestly a master at it, and it's definitely paid off with everything he's talked about, because he used to pitch for the Phillies, and you know, so he definitely has that professional mental attitude of what you need to get the job done every single time. And yeah, so mental is just huge with, you know, and it's the same, whether it's golfing, you see any professional athlete out there and they have mental coaches, you know, and there's a specific reason for that, because it's so valuable.
Let's talk shotguns a little bit. You know, you're shopping for a shotgun. I don't think a lot of people, here's another one that know the difference between an inertia driven automatic and a gas-driven automatic. Can you talk about the difference there and what people might find in each one of those shotguns, man?
Yeah, absolutely. So with the gas, you know, I'll talk about Browning shotguns. You have, you know, like the Maxis, that's the gas gun. Basically, that relies on gases to cycle everything, versus the A5, which is inertia. Inertia will be using essentially the power of the shell. And everything's in the stock, and so the recoil basically brings back everything, and that's obviously how that works. But, you know, and there's a huge debate what's better, gas or inertia. I usually shoot the A5 just out here. That's what I love to shoot, snow goose hunting, Canada goose hunting. And gas operated is definitely a little bit less recoil, but it's personal preference.
And what
they both shoot really good.
When you're shooting competitively, my favorite trap gun of all time, I had a BT-99, you know, Browning, you know, single barrel, open. It would, dude, that thing, it's built for trap, right? But do you, when you shoot competitively, are you shooting something like a BT-99 or an over and under, or you're shooting an automatic when you're in competition?
You know, for once again, we talk about trap shooting grade shotguns.
Sure.
Another huge benefit with trap shooting grade is they're built to take thousands and thousands and thousands of rounds. Just for an example, with trap shooting, I shoot the Satori XT trap combo for my singles and doubles. And we've been using the Satori, my specific Satori, I've used for 16 years now.
And that's an over and under.
Over and under, yep. The one that I'm using, well, for singles is just the top single barrel. But, you know, I've used that for 16 years, you know, and we've obviously sent it into Browning to get, you know, new springs and stuff. But
how many shells have you put through that thing? You've had that thing for 16 years? I mean, seriously, have you put 100,000 shotgun shells through that gun?
It's usually about, you know, for that specific barrel, probably a good 20,000 rounds a summer.
A summer. 20,000 a summer times 16 years. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Just for that single barrel.
Yeah.
Usually they put the guns in a machine and have the machine pull the trigger. They just send them to Foster.
And he just didn't. Wear this out, Foster. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Not a problem. Nope. But once again, it's about giving back to the sport and, you know, what can we do? And that's what we love with Browning's help, is what can we do to give back to the sport and build this up to be better than when we first got into it?
Yeah, no, that's outstanding. We talked a little bit at SHOT Show about you guys coming out here to the Northwest and putting on a clinic. And we're definitely going to be working on that, getting you guys out here. Hopefully
hooking
up with Filson as well.
That'd be really cool.
Now, one little tip before we have to let you go. Can you give folks a tip? Let's say... whether it be duck hunting, pheasant hunting, whatever it is, on leading birds. One little tip from Foster Barthlow, you know, a duck's coming into the spread. Are you putting it on them and pulling the trigger? Are you swinging through them? How do you go through that progression when a bird's coming into your deeks, buddy?
Yeah, so there's a few different types of leads that you can use. And, you know, whether it's spot shooting is for trap shooting, obviously, where you know the line of where the target's going to come. So you basically put the barrel right where in the past. And once that target gets up to it, you pull the trigger. You have the swing through method, the pull away method, and sustained lead. I usually use like a swing through or a sustained lead. Swing through is basically where you start behind the bird, you know, tail, body, head, neck, or, you know, head in front of it, pull the trigger. I usually use that one, but then I'll also use a sustained lead. Sustained lead is basically where you get in front of the bird at the correct lead distance. You kind of basically you figure out the lead, stay in front of it, and then pull the trigger. It just kind of depends on, you know, what specific angle that bird's coming in and what the wind is, but typically I use like a sustained lead where I'm in front of that bird. You know, and I can watch that lead and then pull the trigger, keep the follow through. The follow through is the critical part of it. If you stop your gun, 9 times out of 10, you're going to miss that bird. So if you can keep that barrel moving, in that same path, you're going to more than likely hit the bird because you have a shot string. Most people don't think about it. You have a shot string of about 6 feet, on average when you're waterfowl hunting. And what I tell people is I'd rather be in front of the bird because with that shot string, I'm more likely to hit the bird, you know, with part of that shot string if I'm in front of it. Whereas if I'm behind it, it doesn't matter how much of a shot string I have. I'm going to miss that bird.
And so, basically, just to define the term shot string, there's a column of shot in a shotgun shell. And let's say, you know, back, I know that's 135 lead number fours to the ounce, for example. And I realize that's lead, but I'm old and I used to shoot lead, and so I remember that.
Yeah.
But anyway, but as you so you pull a trigger, not all those pellets hit the target at the same time, and so they lengthen out, and so the ones that were in very back of that column could be 6 feet in back of the ones that are in front. And so what you're saying is, you know, these pellets are spread out spatially in a pattern that's a diameter, but also in a depth, and getting out that shot string out in front just gives you just a little bit of buffer with regard to hitting your target.
Yep. And if you ever do any water hunting, you know, if you have a wounded goose or something on the water and you shoot, you can definitely see that staggered line. That's basically your shot string played out on water. And for those listening too, that the biggest thing is if you miss, don't get frustrated. You know, for example, with trap shooting, I have a .9947 average for singles. And I miss quite a bit, too, for hunting.
You missed last year.
You missed last year.
That threw the whole thing off.
So you have, like, baseball cards and stats on the back of them.
Good job not getting frustrated on that one shot you missed last year, buddy. Hats off to you.
No doubt.
Real quick, you've been running shot cams. I've been watching some of your videos on Instagram. We got to get out of this segment real quick. But talk about that shot cam, man. It's pretty cool to be able to review your shot on your cell phone afterward and see what you did wrong.
It is phenomenal. Yeah, we got a couple of the shot cams, and honestly, my hunting game has improved tremendously from it too, because it's not only a cool tool that you can watch video, you know, and capture that hunt, but you can watch it and it plays in slow motion, so you can see frame for frame exactly where you're shooting, and you can just fine tune exactly what you do, you know, and so progression throughout the season. if there's any shots, and you can use shot cam for trap shooting, skeet, hunting, you know, but there's a wide variety of uses for it. But yeah, it's a great tool to be able to learn. And I use it all the time. And as you said, you know, for hunting stuff, it's really cool when you can watch that bird, you know, fold in the camera. But
yeah.
But I use that a lot for learning for myself too on how to improve for hunting and trap shooting.
He's Browning's Foster Barthlow. Log on to trapshootingbros.com. Foster, thank you very much for your time this morning. It's been great, and we're going to get you back on again, man, because we're just scratching the surface of this whole deal, and I hope, indeed, we can get you out here for a shooting clinic in the very near future.
Yes, that'd be great, and hopefully we can have Matt on here, too. He's had the high double average for, like, the last 3 years, or fourth year, excuse me, in the row for ATA, so... If anyone's interested in doubles, he's definitely the guy to talk to.
All right, buddy. Have a great weekend, man. We appreciate the time, and we'll be talking shortly, I'm sure. Thanks, brother. Have a great weekend, man. See you, Foster.
Great. Thank you, guys.
All right, thanks, Foster. We'll talk to you soon, man. All right. Coming up next, a critically acclaimed, award-winning Northwest Outdoor Report right here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
The Northwest Outdoor Report, also known as Redneck Sports Center, is brought to you by Truck Vault, the leader in secure vehicle storage.
Smelters will get another crack to dip smelt on the Lower Kellis River this next Wednesday, February 26th. On the last five-hour opener on February 15th, over 35,000 pounds of smelt was caught by dip netters on the Lower Kellis River. It hasn't been a smelt season on the Kellis since 2017, and Forked folks were more than excited to get out and dip some of these fish again. In fact, 4,300 smelters hit the river on the last opener, far more than fishery managers ever expected. The smelt opener on Wednesday the 26th will also be a five-hour opener with dip netting open from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. from the Highway 432 bridge down to Helenberg Boat Launch in Castle Rock.
Are you a smelter?
Possibly. I'm not going to admit to that on air. But
fall Columbia River forecast brighter than last year. Fisheries managers released preliminary Chinook numbers for the Columbia this year, and overall the picture's better than last year for fall Chinook. They're predicting a run of 431,000 falls up the Columbia compared to a forecast of only 340,000 last year. Last year's run came in a little bit over the forecast at right around 375,000 Chinook. While that's nothing close to the record years of 1 million plus back to the Columbia before the dreaded blob showed up, the numbers are certainly headed in the right direction. Managers fear the coho numbers, however, will be down slightly in the Columbia this summer, just shy of 269,000 coho are forecast for the Columbia this season. Last year's forecast was well over a million, and less than half of that, right around 400,000, actually made it back to the creek. More forecasts will be released this week as the salmon season setting process begins to unfold in Olympia.
The spring Chinook forecast for the Columbia River isn't as rosy, though. Managers are predicting a return of around 81,000 springers back to the Columbia this year, which will lead to some fragmented opportunity for sportsmen fishing for salmon on the entire Columbia River's open through February 29th, but will close after that to all salmon, steelhead, and shad fishing downstream of Warrior Rock. From Warrior Rock upstream to Bonneville Dam, fishing will be allowed for the month of March. The river will close down on April 1st and then reopen on April 2nd to salmon fishing on Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays only, till a quota of 2,899 upriver Chinook mortalities are caught. Daily bag limit is two hatchery fish, of which only one could be a salmon. Fishery managers will meet again on April 15th to review the fishery, see if any additional fishing days will be allowed.
The cannon fired last weekend, starting off the Roach Harbor Derby, and at the end of it, Jason Squibb took the Roach Harbor Derby in $12,000 in cash last weekend with an 18.14-pound winter blackmouth from the beautiful San Juan Islands. And a very close second place went to Brent Malone with an 18.4-pound blackmouth. That's a sand lance between those two fish. A total of $28,000 in cash was handed out of the Roach. In addition, the Roach Harbor Derby and last year's Derby winner, Paul McAbee, teamed up to host eight veterans from the Salmon for Soldiers Veteran Fishing Program to fish in the event. Next up in the Northwest Salmon Derby Series is the Olympic Peninsula Derby, the weekend of March 13th through the 15th. The three-day event is expected to pay out over $20,000 in cash, and typically one of the largest blackmouth derbies in the Northwest Salmon Derby Series in terms of participants. Mark Thompson took the Ole Penn Derby last year with a 19-pounder that was worth $10,000. Log on to GardnerSalmonDerby.com to get tickets for the upcoming Olympic Peninsula Salmon Derby.
There are no shortage of razor clams on the Washington coast, which is why another four-day dig started this past Thursday is running through the weekend. Diggings open today at Long Beach, Twin Harbors, and Copalis beaches. Then tomorrow, Long Beach, Twin Harbors, and Moke Rocks beaches will also be open for digging. Low tides at 6:11 p.m. tonight, 6:44 p.m. tomorrow night. Next set of tentative razor clam digs is set for March 6th through the 11th on the Washington coast, Check out the WDFW website for more details.
North of Falcon season's here. WDFW will be kicking off the salmon season setting process this Friday, February 28th in Olympia. The meeting is the first of 12 public meetings scheduled, and the forecasts will be announced at this particular event. It's this Friday, 9 to noon, the Department of Social and Health Services Building 2 Auditorium, and anyone interested in the upcoming salmon season process is more than welcome to attend.
Hunters have until next Friday to get their application submitted for a spring bear permit in Washington. Approximately 600 tags are up for grabs this year. Depending on the unit, the season will open either April 1st or April 15th and run through through June 15th. Log on to WDFW website to get your special hunt permit application submitted by next Friday, February 28th.
And Nelly, this Redneck Sports Center has been brought to you by the great folks at Truck Vault in Cedro Woolley. Check out your next secure vehicle storage system at truckvault.com.
When you were a kid, did you ever have to stand in the corner in the back of
the
class?
Oh, are you kidding? I lived in the corner.
Yeah.
Did they
throw erasers back? Our teachers threw erasers at us. Did you ever get an eraser?
The eraser,
the big one they would erase the board with, you know?
But what we were afraid of was Coach Friedel had the multi-hole motivator, which was like a paddle with holes drilled in it.
I know.
Yeah. Everybody was scared of it, and I was really the only person that ever got hit with it. So go to Harbor Marine.
It didn't do much good.
You know, yeah, it did. Absolutely. Just the opposite. Yeah. Can you imagine if some teacher hit a kid these days with a paddle?
Well, you can't even raise your voice to him now.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. You got to check out this DeWalt 20-volt.
We were just looking at this during the break. This heater question came in on the text toy at 710-710 about a heater for my soft top windshield boat.
Yeah.
So Nellie and I started digging into this. We got into this DeWalt heater thing up at Harbor Marine.
Yeah.
And we dug further. This heater is ridiculous.
What do you need in a boat? You need a little bit of heat. You need a little bit of light. And
you need chargers for your phones.
To plug into charger your phone. Yeah. This has everything. It's a heater, light, phone charger, and it's at Harbor Marine. It's the most perfect boat.
But wait
thing
a minute,
I've
this doesn't
seen.
Plug into your boat. This
no,
is
it doesn't.
Battery
stand alone.
Operated. It takes the battery out of your
cordless drill.
Your cordless drill. Pop it in there, and you're good to go.
Yeah.
Bring, so talk about hunting camp.
Oh, dude.
Boom.
Yeah.
Done.
I tell you what, this is the best thing ever. Okay.
How many are you getting?
I'm seriously going to get one, dude.
Yeah, I'm going to get one of these.
Or things. Or I'm going to drop a big hint to the wife. You know, could be. So
we just talked to Foster Barthlow at the top of the 7 o'clock hour. Browning shotguns. We're actually I'm picking up an A5 on the way home today for next duck hunting season.
That's my A5, by the way.
Shut up! It's mine.
Oh.
It's mine.
That's what it's going to be. All right. Okay. All right. I'm just going to.
I'm going to sight that sucker in right when I get home.
I'm going to get the first DeWalt then.
Yeah. So speaking of shotguns.
Yeah.
Austin Sandman, Honk Stomper Guide Service is over on the east side, laying in a layout blind right now in a cornfield. Hopefully he's got a squadron of snow geese over top of him in just about 5 minutes right when we pick up. So
shots fired. Honk Stomper Guide Service joining us next here in the Outdoor Line, powered by legendary Yamaha Reliability here on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Get in, sit down, hold on, and listen up. You're in the RenaissanceMarineGroup.com's wheelhouse, brought to you by Weldcraft, Duckworth, and Northwest Boats.
Welcome to the wheelhouse here on 710 ESPN's The Outdoor Line. Log on to HonkStomperGuideService.com. That is the website of our next guest, Austin.
Is that a shotgun being reloaded
Austin,
in the background? What is that?
Was there, Austin?
I wish.
Okay.
There was a shotgun being reloaded.
What's
right now.
Going on over there, buddy? What's happening?
It's another beautiful day to be out in the basin. That's all I can say.
Are you getting bluebirded?
We had bluebirds, guys. We actually have an inversion right now. So I have about 2,000 sunfish. It looks awesome with no wind. They're just really saggy. It's looking really great. So
you last night you had about 10,000 birds in your field. I saw a video you posted on Instagram of a big cyclone of snows working into the field. Are they just hunkered down today, just chilling in the sunshine, or what are the birds doing there?
No, I believe the roost got jumped this morning because about 10,000 of them came all at one time. And we had one slide right in the kill hole, but I didn't call the shot because obviously, I mean, when you have 10,000 birds grinding over the top of you, you don't really want to blow that up. So ended up not shooting, and they all just kind of scattered everywhere. So I'm sure I helped out a bunch of other hunters. They went 10 different ways. So now we're just kind of waiting. And I looked at the forecast. We're supposed to get some wind this afternoon. So we're kind of just adjusting a little bit to chance for the wind when we actually get it. But yeah, like I said, there's an inversion today, so we have literally zero wind right now. So it's making things pretty difficult.
Well, yeah. I tell you what, that Mexican joint you took us to in Othello, that's probably sounding pretty good now. That place was killer.
Yeah, I think we're we might have to go take a little early breakfast here and come back because yeah, I mean, it's a beautiful day to be out here. I tell you what, I wish I was bass fishing right now.
Yeah, no doubt. Have you heard about the new DeWalt 20-volt heater with a phone charger?
Well, they don't need the heater.
They don't need the heater? Okay, no. All right.
Exactly. No, but, yeah, I mean, I got another group about 3 miles east of where I'm hunting, and they're saying the same thing, you know, just literally no wind, and the birds are coming out and flying high. And
yeah,
they had a big group grind them, too, and it's kind of just, we've talked about it before the season started, and we kind of all just got on the same page as far as, hey, we're not going to shoot into 10,000 birds. We want to try to keep them around so we can enjoy the two-week season. But,
well, this will work out later in the day, Austin. But let's talk about this kind of new phenomenon going on in Eastern Washington of these snow geese being over there. This is new. This is like the last 5 years. This has kind of built up over there. You're a farmer, okay, in the Moses Lake area. How much do the farmers hate? Oh, you got birds coming?
Yeah, I'm running back to the blind.
Art, do you have
a thousand coming at us right now?
Have you got a cell in the blind, or are you gonna have to bail on us?
No, we're good. I'll just put you guys on speaker.
All right, put us on speaker. All right, how far out are they?
They're right on us here. Okay, get down. Right in front, guys. Right in front. All right, here we go.
Have you hunted snows, Nelly?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, baby. They're yummy.
Okay, coming right over the back.
Right over the back. Hear him in the background?
Oh, yeah.
Hear him working? Yep.
Hear him?
Right over the top.
All right, come on.
Come on. Just do it. Just come in.
Come in there.
Get ready, guys. Right here.
Here we go.
Right here.
Hear him? Listen. They're right there.
Shoot those close ones. Shoot those close ones. Get them. Get them. Get them.
Oh, they're doing it. Holy cow. Hey, anytime you want us to call. Hey.
Well, I think you guys are
you
got to
be kidding me right now.
You guys are good luck. Nice shooting, guys.
All right. Hey, anytime you want us, we're on the payroll now.
That's it, baby.
Guide series, buddy.
More often. Yeah, we got to do this more often because, we hadn't done anything until right now. So,
perfect.
That's awesome.
All right,
buddy. How many did you knock down, man?
I think we got 3 off that.
All right.
Good start.
We could hear them working over you, man. And so you had about 1,000 of them working. It's hard to get that whole group to come in, though. You just get the front edge of it. Real quick, I know you're picking up birds, but this, as a farmer over there in the Moses Lake area, do the farmers just hate these snow geese showing up over there and this whole new phenomenon?
Yeah, I mean, really, we haven't had it yet. So it's kind of just, this is the first time we've ever seen it. And so, like this field I'm hunting today is a new seeded winter wheat field. And I called the farmer and he said, I'd love you to shoot them. I didn't know it was open.
Perfect.
So, you know, a lot of people don't even realize that hunting season's open again. So,
Right on, buddy. Well, congrats.
Kind of a double-edged sword.
Go get some breakfast. You got a few birds now that the heat's off. Get some breakfast.
Yeah, no doubt.
And we'll wait for the pictures this afternoon, Alex Stumper.
Send us some pictures,
right
man.
On, guys. Well, right, you guys have a good day.
Thanks for checking in.
Go catch some fish for me. I wish I was out fishing.
All right, we'll trade you a trip, man. Thanks, Austin.
All
good
right,
job, buddy.
See you, buddy.
All right, bye.
Some pretty classic stuff. Yeah.
I just got a text from Zach at PN Wild. Like, dude, that was the best piece of radio I've ever heard. Oh my gosh, that wasn't staged either. Yeah. That was totally legit. Unbelievable.
Sure,
you could hear the geese working right over top of the blinds, man.
866-979-3776. Yeah, we got PETA on line 2.
Oh, that was awesome.
No
man.
Kidding. All right.
Hammer time.
Coming up next, the hottest report we heard all week, the techniques you need to succeed. It's RoyRobinsonChevy.com's Really? Where? And it's next here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
No way.
You gotta be kidding me.
Really?
Where?
It's coming back from the island of Tinny and Delady.
Where'd you get him, man? No way. You gotta tell me. I'm not gonna tell anybody.
The ocean turning red.
Hey, man, can you tell me where you got him?
I'll never put on a life jacket again.
Welcome to RoyRobinsonChevy.com's Really? Where?
Where?
Roy Robinson Chevrolet RV will take you anywhere. Really?
Check out the all-new 2020 Chevy Silverado 1500, 0% APR, 72 months plus. Eligible GM card members get $1,000 bonus savings. That's Roy Robinson Chevrolet Subaru RV, RoyRobinsonChevy.com.
Listen, everyone, we all, as outdoorsmen, we live for the those moments, all right? Whether it be that rod slamming down in the steelhead of a lifetime flying out of the water, or a big Chinook in the salt, or a big walleye, or a big buck, big elk, whatever it is, that last segment with those snows coming in, that is what we live for right
there. He
said
he had about a flock of 1,000.
That's
why we do
it right there.
If you listen to the background, that is.
Yeah.
That is. If your heart didn't pick up an extra little beat right there.
I'm telling you, I got a chance to hunt with him this fall, and it was, this winter, it was fun. And you just heard exactly what happens out there.
Yeah.
Total pandemonium. Yeah, it sucks. Oh, my God.
Pandelirium.
Run!
Yeah,
there they go.
That's it, too. You go from the depths, from the very depths of despair to the highest top of the mountain. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, anyway, that was a great
segment. That's why we do it.
What else is going on? This is the really worst segment. Best bite of the week. Black mouth on the sound. North sound, in particular the north sound. South sound has been DED dead.
Yeah.
But inside up in 8182 has been good. The San Juan Island's been good. It's been a bait show for the most part. Your anchovies and a hood behind a flasher, your small herring, your orange and red label herring. But definitely the bait thing has really been hammer time here this winter for these black mouth.
And
we can't ignore steelhead fishing.
No,
either.
We can't. But again, with the bait deal, just kind of let them speak for themselves, right? You can use them. If you use them with a flasher, get it 5-6 feet behind there. But just run a straight bait every now and then.
And
feel how fun it is just to play a fish with no flasher, no nothing. And chances are you can get a bigger fish to go on a bigger bait by itself, too.
Big wild steelhead hitting the coast.
Oh, dude.
Some cranker steelhead.
February's big steelhead month.
And they're getting them.
Yeah.
And also the Cowlitz River. We've just watched this Cowlitz River fishery change since we were kids.
Yeah.
It was always side drift, and it was always bait when we
you
were kids.
You had to go down there with 100 liters tied.
Oh, if not more, and
yeah.
Eggs. Everybody had their own little Cura eggs when we were kids down there. Now it's morphed into this bobber dog and drill, which is good for BOMAC because they sell the best bobber on the planet.
Dude,
for
but
bobber
you save
dogging.
Gear. It's an effect. It's an efficient way to fish,
and you don't pollute the bottom of the river with lead and leaders. And I mean, half the snagging we did when we were kids, we were snagging on everybody else's crap on the bottom of the river,
without question.
And so you run a stick lead on a spinner shaft with either a 1/2 ounce or a 5/8 ounce BOMAC slip bobber, and they're running either beads or little yarnies. Or even bait, once in a while. But the guys are fishing a lot of beads down there now with a pretty long leader
and
bobber dogging that stuff and getting these steelhead to go.
And from a boat fishing perspective, the cool thing about the floats is you get to see where everybody is in the drift and not just, and then the other guys in the boat, or it's obvious where somebody else's gear is as well. And so you can kind of go down from a sled, for example, you can comb those holes.
Yeah, for sure.
And tell you what. The rest of the steelhead scene's been moribund, and I can't think of another word to really describe this year. But that later timed hatchery stock in the Cowlitz has been more successful.
Yeah, big
so
fish.
And
so you take that spinner shaft and you take some eighth inch hollow core lead.
Yep.
Slide it up on there and you pinch it on there. Now when that gets snagged in the rocks, it'll pull off and you don't lose all your gear. And it's just the angle is different. You got a right angle on that, so it's hanging straight down. It's flowing right through the rocks. When you're side drifting, you're kind of sideways, so it can get wrapped in front of those rocks, and there's all that gear down there to get snagged up on. It's just a great way to save your gear and be productive and be in the water all the time.
And you don't want to feel a bite. They're scary.
No, you don't want to do any of that. No. I love side drifting.
Dude, are you kidding me?
And right before the river's closed down there, I'm telling you, feeling them chewing on eggs
dude.
Is just like, oh, it's electric. And that's the moments we live for that I was talking about.
So I can't remember who else was with us, but I took Nikki Kester up to this gadget. And it was one of those last years where we had a bunch of hatchery fish. We ran up to Barnaby Slough out at from Rockport. And there was a whole bunch of hatchery fish. It was a Friday afternoon, and we go up there. And Nikki made the perfect cast and laid it out there, and it started coming down, and his rod just went over. And he goes, oh, my God, oh, my God. And we got the fish in the boat, and turns to me and says, that bite was horrifying.
That's what they do when they hit a pink worm. When a steelhead hits a pink rubber. I remember when somebody first showed me one of those. One of my customers pulled one out, and I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm not going to throw a bass lure in there and catch a steelhead. They rope those pink rubber worms, man.
Horrifying strikes.
And now they're eating black ones with chartreuse tails and all kinds of stuff. And by the way, so the text toy lit up after that goose segment. Questions about that Mexican restaurant in Othello. It's called Rico's. That place is killer. We had slow duck hunting over there one of the days. So we went down there and had lunch at Rico's in Othel. We went back in the afternoon, and the ducks were just pouring, cycloning into this field, and we shut our limits in like an hour. But, yeah, Austin's got all the local little food thing figured out. He is a farmer over there in that Moses Lake area. He's got, what do you got?
This is Scott from the 206. That snow goose piece was amazing. Definitely the best radio I've ever heard. My brother and I were going to head over there this weekend and try it ourselves. He talked me out of it. We will never speak again. That's classic. Well,
those moments.
Yeah,
though,
if we can, you know, if we can come here in a radio show and break apart a family, I feel like we really accomplished something, you know, during the day. Yeah, no question about it. Oh, so
classic.
Yeah, but you know, again, all the guys getting out on the weekend. You know, we've got, you know, cloudy and some AM showers tomorrow, but then next week, you know, we've got temperatures.
Another epic week next week.
Yeah, we got temperatures in the mid-50s again, mm-hmm. and this is it. This is the last show next Saturday is the last weekend
we got
of February.
Days
yeah,
this 20, year, February.
That's right.
Yeah.
Just as if we didn't need. All right, what is with February 29th? Can't we have?
I thought it was a typo. I went back and looked. Like, no
it's,
way.
No, it's leap year.
Yeah,
but why can't we have June 31st?
Yeah,
right? I mean, let's add another day.
Give us an extra day. Whose idea was this?
I don't know. But adding another day.
An extra day in the winter.
Yeah, I know. It's that you're killing,
that guy can
killing me. Yeah, no question about it.
So great weather ahead this week. Hopefully, it doesn't impact that snow goose deal in Eastern Washington. It sounds like that was a little iffy outside of that great flight they just had coming
that's
in there.
That's just so weird. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, if you think of our fall, you know, traditional fall and winter hunts, and yeah, you can get some days in the spring where you're peeling off the camo. You
for sure.
Yeah, yeah. You better have a pair of camo shorts.
And they need these spring seasons now. The snow goose thing is kind of, I don't want to say out of control because it's good for us hunters, but the farmers hate them. They just mow down their crops. And they work like a little army. Today they work from here to there, mm-hmm. and then the next day they actually know where they left off, and they land right there, and then they mow the rest down. And it's actually like they actually like grid a field out and just smoke the whole field. So farmers, when you ask permission, now of course Austin's got most of the stuff leased up, and he manages a lot of that ground over there. But you know, if you ask permission, a lot of times you're going to get it unless somebody else already has it leased up.
Dude, we have so much coming up. I mean, we've got so much coming up. We're standing on the cusp of the East Straits of Juan de Fuca opening up. Then in April, we got our general trout opener. Here comes May. Here comes ling cod and shrimp
and
fishing.
And expanded halibut seasons as well. And the good thing, you know, stuff we saw in the Friday Harbor Salmon Classic, a few of the boats that ran to the banks were catching halibut like crazy. Like,
and I want to say that, and typically we've had to wait till May for halibut. And this year, I believe we got April 16th.
April 16th, our first opener. So now we get a crack at those fish a little bit earlier, expanded quota a little bit. Now, most of the quotas, especially in the North Pacific, have been contracting and shrinking up there. We got a little bump in our quota here in the Northwest, which is good. So little positive news there. Folks are excited to get out and stroke some of those halibut and get some ling cod as well at the same time. So.
My favorite spring meal is you get some eggs over easy, and right next to them you've got a cast iron skillet full of flour and salted covered morel mushrooms. Oh my goodness, dude! It's almost time to go pick morels. You got to get a couple weeks away from a freeze, but like the first 50-degree rain we have, they're going to start popping up, man.
Oh, for sure, yeah. We just had a question from the 206. Can I catch lings from the bank?
Yes.
Not from a boat. Yes, you can do it.
Westport.
Westport's a great spot, but off Deception Pass. Do it off the rocks up there. And the jetty at Westport is a killer spot. Be careful, obviously.
Yeah, it can kill you
down
back.
There, but, yeah, but guys will throw swim baits and work them down. Let it drop all the way down onto the sand, and then work it up the jetty. You're going to lose some jigs doing it, but guys catch a lot of ling cod off the jetties down there doing that. So
that's
a good spot to get some lings off the bank.
Yeah, and Westport's coming up pretty quick with their ocean opener as well. Port of Grace Harbor and Westport, absolutely.
For sure.
Is that March? Is that March 1st? I think it is.
I think so. Yeah, you know they got a new marina.
Yeah,
they did a bunch of work in the marina. They expanded the boat launch, put a new fillet table in. They paved that parking lot new restrooms.
They blacktopped the parking lot.
Yeah,
which is really super nice. No, they've
showers, restrooms. You can actually take a shower. Well, most of us don't shower when we're fishing.
And England Marine Supply has a brand new building across from the Hungry Whale over there now. So yeah, Westport's really come of age. It's pretty cool. Are we going to do the halibut quest again out of there?
Definitely
you can
not.
You can go halibut fish at 700 feet.
No, that was 800 feet. But I wouldn't know because I was at 50 feet.
It was
so,
so bad.
Yeah. Fake, I will never go to 800 feet for halibut ever fishing. Again.
If you missed any of the show, I hope you've got the 710 ESPN app downloaded, or go to mynorthwest.com or come on over to theoutdoorline.com. I just heard Matt in there editing, and those will be up really, really shortly. Get a hold of us during the week on social media at The Outdoor Line on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. For Rob Ensley over there, for Matt Nelson behind the glass, I'm Tom Nelson. This has been The Outdoor Line. Oh, wait. Log on to peregrinelodge.com. We got a few seats available. Come on up to the listener trip, June 14th. We are The Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.